Good evening and welcome everyone to Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, we circle the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest, in our opinion, broadcasting anywhere around the globe. Hey, I see some of my panelists here tonight, and Wooten Taylor. Good afternoon, my dear friend.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. And Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery, hello.
Hello.
Okay. Was trying to wait for Brother Tisdale, and Dr. Sims is not feeling well today. So,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, pray for her. Yeah, she's been going through this for a couple of weeks. She says if she feels better, she'll come on. And I told her, hey, get rest if you have to, okay? That's perfectly all right. And our condolences go out to Dr. Joyce Woodbury Harris. She lost her daughter.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's going through something here as well.
Yeah.
So, yep. So, Ann, you had a wonderful show yesterday. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, well, thank you. We had the Titus II woman back with us, Mrs. Annetta Work-Sally. She was talking to us this time about Titus II women living healthy and fit. She's a graduate of the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries course, and so she's attending the master class. So she is living out exactly what she was preaching about yesterday. It was a blessing to be there. If you guys would like to partake of her services, because she does coaching for people who need it, just go to iCelebrateU365, follow Annetta Work-Sally on Facebook and Twitter. She's, I think, iCelebrateU365 on pretty much every platform that she's on. But she also has another handle that she uses too. That one's fairly new, so I don't have that one memorized yet. But you guys need to follow her. And, you know, don't forget to sign up for the class if you didn't already. We have spots still available at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. It's our 10-year celebration. The class is free, no registration fees or membership fees. You're only responsible for the cost of the class materials, and most of those are being donated by our instructors, Dr. Tara Cannon, author of Health and Wellness for the Believer, Elsa Caballero, she's a Christian nutritionist and the First Lady of Fitness. Deborah Michelle Jones is giving you 2 free workouts every week, so you don't want to miss it, folks. Don't forget, sign up for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries Masterclass at eatingasanactofworshipministries.org.
Yes, yes. Now, your guest yesterday, she also has a son that's quite the entrepreneur, young entrepreneur.
Yes, he was on Teens Talk Truth. Stephen was on Teens Talk Truth with AJ and Alex a few weeks ago. Basically, he's an influencer on YouTube. That's how he makes his living. So you want to go to check him out. Follow him on Spring Sims, I believe is the name of it. I think his overall business is called Hello Spring, but he is an awesome, awesome young man. And if you missed the show with him on Teens Talk Truth, please do go to StudioWBuzz.com. Sign up, subscribe, and then you can listen to the archive show so you can hear AJ and Alex as they interview Stephen.
Yes, yes, yes. I tell you what, he could give me a few tips on how to use social media. Oh, wow,
yeah,
wow, wow.
He's awesome.
He is
awesome.
Really awesome. I enjoyed that as well. You know, now today, we're going to talk about a couple of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about, I saw a clip on Facebook and was talking about this Christian preacher that goes on this sexist rant. And yeah, it is quite disturbing. We're also going to talk about why it's imperative for us to vote. Folks, your vote has never been more important than now. And we don't talk about that. I know the midterms come up in November, but so many people ignore the midterms. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the general election every 4 years, yes, that's vitally important. But I'll tell you what's even more important. That's the midterms. And when you start electing your local officials, your mayors, your governors, your judges, you know, anything, oh, my God, commissioners and so forth, it is extremely important. because you have to understand there are 50 states, and within those states you have several cities and counties. They make up that's the makeup of America. Yes, the president of the United States is very, very important. We need to do that. But you have to also understand that when you talk about your Senate and your congressmen and things of that nature, that's where things really get done, okay? Because the president is limited somewhat in his power to govern. And you have to understand that. You understand what Biden is going through right now. And a lot of people are blaming him for a lot of things. But then you have to look at what happened over here recently over the last few months or so. He's gotten a lot of things done. He's gotten a lot of things done. Can you imagine, just like President Obama, how brilliant of a president he was? In my opinion, one of the greatest presidents that ever stepped into that White House was President Obama. Look back in 2008 when he first got in. Oh my!
A mess.
It was a mess. The stock market crashed. The housing market was in dire straits. I mean, everything was just going crazy. Now, if you really look at the history, and I don't understand why Republicans claim that they are a great party. To me, it's a party not desirable to me. Okay, I'm going to be nice here. I'm going to be nice, okay? I'm not going to start off on a rant already. So,
thank you, William.
I'm doing my best, and I've been praying, Dr. Demery. Okay, pray for a brother. Okay, I'm trying to be very nice. But look at the history. Okay, when President Clinton was president, he left the economy. It was positive. As a matter of fact, okay, he left us with a surplus. Mm-hmm. Okay, when Bush got in, he destroyed it all.
Yep.
Okay.
Fast, quicker than quick.
President Obama came in and he had to clean the pile, the trash from the front door of the White House before he can get in to move in. You understand? And I'm going to tell you right now, he turned the stock market around. He turned the housing market around. He turned the jobs. I mean, created more jobs. He turned that around. Okay? Then you get this other character that comes in and he destroys everything again. So what I'm saying to you is that Biden had to do some of the same things, heavy lifting, that Obama did to clean up the mess. Because a lot of what's going on right now in a negative way in this country is this residual effect of what that other guy left. Okay, so what did he do? Okay, he lowered the taxes for the rich. Okay.
Destroyed democracy.
The stock market is up and down. And very excellent point. Destroyed democracy. The racial divide now, I can't remember anything like this. This is before you were born, and Dr. Demery, jump right in. Since 1968, Dr. Demery?
Yes, sir.
Since 1968, I haven't seen anything like this. The racial divide and the hatred, the bigotry, the racism, it hasn't been, I mean, on the surface now, okay, we know racism didn't go away, okay, after the Martin Luther King riots. We know that. However, there was a handle on some things, and people did, on the surface, try to respect one another. Now, all gloves are off.
Right.
The clowns escaped from the circus. It is okay. They broke a loose. So, but since 1968, I haven't seen anything like this. And you know this character didn't.
I think some of it is what we call cognitive dissonance. And what that is, I mean, you know what cognitive dissonance is. It's what you believe as opposed to what you do. That's just a definition. And I think there's a lot of them that really believe differently. Mm-hmm. Because they stay with a particular party. They want to stay with these clowns that are, you know, just really out of their minds. I mean, they're nincompoops. And they choose to stay with this particular group, so they'll not act out what they really believe. Because
That makes them worse.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, Reverend Demery. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to say, if that's okay. I think it makes them worse.
You know, yeah. I think so too, Dr. Demery. I definitely do. It is absolutely incredible. Now you look at what's going on with the Senate. You got McConnell. You got Lindsey Graham. Oh my God! You got these characters there. You look at the House. You got Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Good Lord! You talking about cuckoo? Oh my! Oh, and speaking of her, do you know that her house was swatted? Okay, you guys know what swatted means, right? Okay. Being swatted is a prank. It's a prank, and it's a very dangerous prank. And what happens is somebody will call the police and tell them there's something dangerous going on at your residence. And
well, that's true.
And it swats.
There is something dangerous going on at her residence.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it was a prank, and somebody called the police and said, there were several people that were shot at her house. So the SWAT officers showed up and found out it was Marjorie Taylor Greene's house, right? Now, check this out. This is really, really weird. They called back after that and said the reason and gave a reason why they called. Now, the SWATers don't do that. They do, I call them swatters, right? I don't know whether that's a word or not, but I know SWAT team is a thing. And said the reason why, they called because they do not believe in her political views and especially because of her voting against gay rights and whatever it was, right? So there's a theory going on that somebody on her side, if not her, did that to make the people who's in favor of gay rights, okay, and whatever you think about is your business. What I'm saying is that may not be your belief. It may not be my belief. It may that gay rights. I think everybody, if you're human, you're supposed to have rights. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not supposed to be tortured. You're not supposed to be harassed. You're not supposed to be killed because of your beliefs or whatever it is,
you
right?
You should be able to buy a house. You should be able to get a job.
Yes.
You shouldn't be discriminated against.
That's right. Period. Absolutely. Right. Period. So the belief is that someone on her side did that to sort of give sympathy towards the Republicans, and others that think that way, to sort of water down the need for everyone to have rights and proper representation. I wouldn't be surprised if she did it. I would not be surprised.
Well, her rhetoric is dangerous.
It is
the
dangerous.
The entire Republican Party's rhetoric is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just dangerous here. You know, that mess is spreading abroad. I mean, as close as Canada. QAnon people have infiltrated Canada so much so that there's this woman who claims she's the true queen of Canada, and Justin Trudeau's, you know, his legal term of office is all supposed to be a sham. She talked these people into trying to arrest the police. And so a bunch of folks in Canada, QAnon people, went and tried to do a citizen's arrest on the police. Guess how that went?
Yeah. How did that work out, Ann? How did that work out for them?
The police arrested a bunch of other people.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who were following that woman. But that's the thing. It's not just crazy here. You have this set of people. They like to call it populism or whatever, but basically it is people who are against democracy, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. Not all of them, but a lot of them are anti-democracy, and it's like they're shifting towards authoritarianism, fascism. And the sad part, the really ironic part, is that that's what they claim is going on with the democracy.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I'm like, are you kidding me? People are the living embodiment of authoritarianism, of fascism, and how can you claim that anybody on the opposite side is? It doesn't make sense. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Demery said this several times, and I don't know how far, but hey, Doc, remember you saying that people would rather believe a lie than the truth. And I can't get that. I don't get that. And how many shows we did online? I think we did about at least three. I'm not sure was it four or not, but we did several segments on the cause, the effects, and the awful, well, the awful effects of lying. What, not only what it does to the person you're lying on, but what does it does to your own body? They haven't gotten that. It's just like drinking Drano. Now it's a slower death. Okay. Right. It's like drinking poison. It's a slower death, but it will eat at you. I know. Now I'm not talking about you guys, but I know I have lied in the past. I've told a lie in the past. Okay. And it didn't feel good. It really didn't feel good. And I realized when I started facing the truth and telling the truth about things, I felt better. Mm-hmm. Even though I was wrong. Okay. I was wrong. But when I started, it was almost like getting the shackles off, getting the handcuffs off, you know, because you're handcuffing yourself if you want to live in a web of lies. You have to be a miserable person to just lie. Oh man, we know what 45 is going through, right?
Oh my gosh.
but it's almost like it's a drug to him. He's addicted.
Right. He doesn't seem to care. I mean, it's like,
he has to.
That's his own switch. You know, he don't come on until.
Yeah. You know. He's got to lie about it. And many of those lies are unnecessary.
I know. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's ever necessary to lie. But if you are going to lie, you know, getting a marker to fix a map, it is clearly one of those times where you probably should have, if you're going to lie, not have visual aids.
Right. I mean,
you handmade
it look like a third grader. And my apologies to third graders, okay? It looked like a third grader did something like that. You know, he claimed, hey, this is the map you gave me. Oh, no.
My kids know to go online and come up with a better slide or whatever. Just print out that. You know,
it's unbelievable. Well, look at the lie about this so-called raid, which wasn't a raid. They served a search warrant that was signed off by a federal judge, okay? And believe me, before they did that, they vetted everything. They made sure that all the I's were dotted and all the T's were crossed, because the DOJ does not move that swiftly. And especially when you're talking about someone of that magnitude as far as a former president, they're not just going to say, okay, hey, judge, hey, sign off on this. Because the judge wants to know why. Who, right. What, why, when, and how. Okay. Right. Why are you requesting this? And you better have a good reason. Am I right, Ann?
Exactly.
Because their reputation is on the line. And they could be judges can get fired, can't they?
Well, there's ethics for lawyers and judges alike. There's the judicial canon for judges. And then you've got, of course, the ethics committees that oversee, and it depends on your jurisdiction, attorneys. Now, on the federal court level, those people would have to be impeached in order to be removed from the bench. It's a little different on the state court level. You may hear about judges getting in trouble in the media. That's probably because they didn't step down quietly. if they get in trouble, at least, you know, in jurisdictions I'm aware of, usually the investigating body will, you know, discuss it with the judge, like, okay, this is what we have. If you go ahead and step down, we will not take this public, you know, it'll just go quietly away when you go away. But if they try to fight it, then that's when, you know, the public finds out all the dirt on this particular judge and what the things that they've been doing behind closed doors that makes them unfit to be on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the state level.
Right. So let me ask you this. When are we going to impeach Clarence Thomas, Kavanaugh, and what's these other clowns there that are really causing a real problem in this country? Now, let's say we do get, keep the majority in the Senate and we increase that. And we keep the House and we increase that. Okay. Is there a chance that we could impeach Clarence Thomas and Kavanaugh and who is the other? Gorsuch. I think there are three that Trump appointed, right? No, right. No. What's the lady, the woman?
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yes, yes.
Let me just answer your question this way. You only need a majority in the House to impeach.
Right.
Someone. So that, like the president or say the vice president, in this case, a federal judge, Supreme Court justice at that. Now that is a simple majority. It's different, when you get to the Senate. Yeah. Basically what happens in the House is sort of like an indictment,
mm-hmm.
Where you're saying, okay, these people, there's enough here, we believe, for them to go towards a criminal trial. But, and I'm just helping you to get the visual in your head. That's what would happen on the criminal side. Mm-hmm. Now when we get to the point where it goes to the Senate, that's the actual trial. Okay, but you need a 2/3 of the Senate to agree. So even if, as it stands now, there are enough people in the House of Representatives who believe Clarence Thomas should be impeached, you do not have the votes in the Senate, because mm-hmm. if they didn't get rid of Trump, you know they're not going to get rid of one of the justices on their side, giving them a supermajority.
I agree with you.
And that's the thing that is really the saddest about this. Our system was created and put in place in a way so that the different branches of government were checks and balances on each other, so that no one area of government could run amok.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the founders did not foresee that what you would have is this two-party system, that now you've got enough people in all of these branches and they're working in a coordinated fashion to basically undo or sidestep those particular guardrails, so to speak, that mm-hmm. were put in place to protect democracy. If you've got the president, the majority of the Congress, and the majority of the people on the Supreme Court all working together to promote fascist and authoritarianism, then what do you do? Because there is no checks and balances going on when everybody is working in a coordinated fashion in the same way, because they are in the same group,
mm-hmm.
meaning the Republican Party in this particular instance.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
So that's why we have a problem. Some people are calling it a constitutional crisis, or that we're on the cusp of a constitutional crisis, because in a very real sense, the democracy has been attacked, and we are literally on the edge. It's, if things don't go right in November, and what I mean by go right is there is absolutely no reason. I don't care if you don't think President Biden has done a great job. He's better than Trump, hands down, every day of the week.
That's exactly right.
And if after everything that has happened so far, you know, I mean, everything with climate, with abortion rights, everything that has continued to go on after Trump left office because he and the Republicans initiated this. If you really and truly wanted to stop, if you really and truly want to protect American democracy, then you do not vote for a Republican. That's just the way that it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Liz Cheney has done a very brave thing, sacrificed her career
mm-hmm.
by turning on the person who tried to kill her and everybody else at the Capitol that they didn't agree mm-hmm. with. But it's too little too late, because before that, she stood with Trump. She voted with Trump.
97% of the time.
Exactly. She voted with Trump. All those other people, even including the ones who came out talking about how much of a nut he was, like Tom Cruise. I mean, not Tom Cruise, but Ted Cruz and the Marco Rubio. All those people who were talking about Trump would never do this and he's a kook and all these other things mm-hmm. that they were saying about him. They all flipped and they all started voting with him. They all got on the bandwagon with him. The Republicans have proven they cannot be trusted. They just can't. They don't put America first. They put their party first. So they are, in my opinion, are no longer Americans. They're just Republicans.
I think they're Russians.
Yeah. which Which leads to, why do we have all these secret documents at Mar-a-Lago? Mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about, you know, risk assessment. I mean, he has had those things since he left in 2020. I'm just really concerned about who also has them at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is the scary thing. And especially when you put it in context where, you know, the United States and its allies did a whole lot to try to stop this war in Ukraine. And Vladimir Putin just doesn't seem scared. he doesn't. And he and China together have been, they've been a lot more bold about what they're doing mm-hmm. and about them coming together. I'm just really concerned. And I was concerned beforehand. I told you guys, that if he loses the White House, that mm-hmm. I was concerned about what he would do because he's so vindictive.
That's right.
And I don't put it past him at all to do anything to hurt this country as a whole just because he couldn't become the dictator over the United States that he wanted to be. I have no problem making that 1+1 connection getting two.
That's not a huge leap. That's really not
leap. I mean, behavior and what he's done in the past. And don't get me wrong. I have, you know, I'm not saying he did it. I'm just saying that is the question on the table for me. He had these documents. There's no reason for any sitting president to remove classified information from the White House when his term of office is over. There's no reason for that. Nobody else does that. And if we're really talking about it, you know, he ran in 2016 on a lock her up platform mm-hmm. because there was a possibility that her server could have been compromised.
That's right.
Just a possibility. Not that she did anything like, you know, compromise mm-hmm. national security outright, but she could have, you know, inadvertently done it.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did it.
Right.
Actually did it. And so if anybody needs to be locked up, everybody needs to be chin lock him up. But you don't get that. And instead you're getting attacks on the police. You're getting attacks on the National Archives. And you are getting, you know, people making threats. I think even against the judge who signed the warrant. So I'm telling you, democracy is under attack, and it's one thing for us to have white nationalists and you know, Christian nationalists, white supremacists, all these people who are racist against black people, Hispanic people, Jewish people. That is a fabric of America's history that we are used to.
Mm-hmm.
What we are not used to is this general overall attack on American democracy itself.
Mm-hmm.
This is uncharted water and I think that's kind of what the problem is. It's, they don't know what to do with this. And if they don't figure it out, and what I say is they, I mean, not, you know, not just the NSA, not just the FBI, not just the people in Congress, everyday Americans are going to have to figure this thing out for themselves, because these Republicans are violent. I mean, they are literally calling for violence.
That's right.
They are acting out violence. They're calling for secession. They're calling for civil war, revolution. It's, you know, and they're not kidding, people. January 6th was proof that they're not kidding.
They're not kidding at all. And let me ask you this. I believe there are laws on the books right now about inciting violence. I think there are laws on the books right now about you cannot go out here and incite violence, or not only commit violence, but incite a riot. Mm-hmm. And we see this happening all the time, yet nothing, little or nothing is being done about this. Now, you have called for violence against and threatened a sitting federal judge. Now, I don't know what Garland is doing. Maybe he's doing some things, because he really surprised me when he got that search warrant for Mar-a-Lago, okay? That surprised me. Perhaps he's doing something behind the scenes to find out who these people are, because a lot of these people are on social media. Now, there's a footprint there that they can track back. If you're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they know who you are. That has to lead back to something, whether it's an IP address or whatever it is. So it seems like to me a lot more of these people should be locked up. Now, going back to the other MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're trying to take away our guns. Nobody's trying to take away, even though I know there are too many guns in the United States. There are more guns in the United States than there are citizens. And I don't have one. Okay?
A lot of people do.
More than one. And what do you need an assault rifle for?
Well, look, let me just put it to you like this. First question, you're talking about 18 U.S. United States Code, Section 2102. And the term riot means a public disturbance involving an act or acts of violence by one or more persons, part of an assemblage of three or more persons, which act or acts shall constitute a clear and present danger of all or shall result in damage or injury to the property of any other person or to the person of any other individual. That's the first one. The second one is a threat or threats of the commission of an act or acts of violence by one or more persons, part of an assemblage of three or more persons having individually or collectively the ability of immediate execution of such threat or threats where the performance of the threatened act or acts of violence would constitute a clear and present danger of or would result in damage or injury to the property of any other person or to the person of any other individual.
So they're guilty. They're guilty on all of that. Guilty.
That's the thing though. You still have to go to court and you still have to present the evidence, and the jury of their peers, unless it's a bench trial, would have to decide whether or not that standard has been met by the prosecution, in order to find the defendants guilty.
Why didn't I go to school like my mom told me to be a lawyer and then a judge? Cause here comes the judge. I'm telling you right now, I would have to have 24-hour protection, Dr. Demery. I'm telling you, because I'd be locking people up. I am telling you right now, and wow. And
you might not have the temperament to be a judge. A good judge is not like those people you see on television, yelling at people and all of that. I mean, you have to, of course, referee both sides, but at the same time, you're interpreting the law and administering the law in an orderly fashion, making mm-hmm. sure it's administered in an orderly fashion. They like to show the people on television yelling and screaming at people.
Explains, what do you mean? I mean, I have their temperament. I would listen to both sides and I would judge accordingly. Yeah. And based on these clowns out here, they are guilty. And I'm
looking at Reverend Demery. You know better, don't you, Reverend Demery? Reverend Demery, as a cop, you probably had to go to court to testify, so you know the difference between the temperament of a good judge and the temperament.
I'd be a real good judge. I'd be a real, real good judge.
Uh-huh. On a day when you had a little chill out massage and then you go in fresh. But by the end of the week,
Dr. Dillon, what is she trying to say?
You'd probably be a judge just like Steve Harvey. You know, they got Steve Harvey being a judge.
Right.
I would follow the law. I would definitely follow the law. But I'm telling you what, these clowns, oh my goodness. You wouldn't come in my courthouse with no mess. Rudy Giuliani would have lost his law license a long time ago. Matt Gaetz would be in prison. Let him come in front of me. Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, that goofy Gosart. What's his name? Gosart? Paul Goldberg or whatever it is, right? This clown that said something about when we're talking about global warming. Yeah, he was talking about something. Well, can't we do something with, changing the Earth's axis or something? These people are out, you know, QAnon. It is woo, 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 woo. What is happening with the, I don't understand. And It's like, and Dr. Dimery, what is it in the Bible that says that when logic doesn't matter anymore, is there anything like that and the illogical people start believing in the illogic? I mean, is there anything that says when the nuts are out of this insane asylum and they start ruling or anything like that, and that we need to be fearful of? Oh, speaking of which, we're going to get to this Christian preacher in a minute here as well. But Dr. Dimery, it has to be something in the Bible, and maybe, and you may know something also that says that that tells us that we're really out of control when people don't believe anymore, they start acting immoral, and then immorality starts governing and things of that nature. That has to be something that the Bible warns us against.
Yeah, it's called the Republican Party.
I didn't expect that. But it is absolutely crazy. And what I'm going to do right now, since we're talking about preachers, I'm going to play this clip right here. Now, I don't know whether you, Ann, or you, Dr. Dimery, ever check out TYT on Facebook. It's the Young Turks, all on YouTube. And they have some really interesting, and I will say, in a lot of cases, dynamic hosts on particular segments, okay? And one of which happened to be my favorite. And his name is Dr. Rashad Ritchie. And this guy, he does these segments on Crazy Karens. And his thing is, I wish a Karen would, right? And you need to check it out, Dr. Dimery. Please check it out. But in the meantime, check out this brief clip right here, and we're going to come back and discuss it on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Boomerang Radio Show right here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. We circle it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest, in our opinion, broadcasting anywhere on the planet.
Right? These individuals support Donald Trump. Now, I want to show you this rant and highlight some nuances that are quite interesting. Let's go to the first video. Here it is.
We see the Nancy Pelosi's of this world. We see the Kamala Harris's of this world. We see the work that they're doing. And that's why I reject women in any position of authority or leadership. You know, it makes me mad. Every time I drive up and down the street, there's this stupid billboard or this stupid little poster I see for like Pamela Bogus or something running for judge. And I'm thinking, what a curse unto our nation. She's a conservative. She's a Republican. Well, get in the kitchen and start making conservative sandwiches. Where in the Bible did it say that, oh, here's the virtuous woman. She's the judge. No, her husband's in the gate. Her husband's the judge. Her husband's the ruler. Her husband's in dominion. And what kind of weak man is campaigning for his wife? You lost your right to the man card, my friend. I'm Mr. Bogus. You know, I'm Mr. Pamela Bogus. Sick freak. And you know what? Why can't you run? Why can't you lead?
Silly rabbit tricks are for kids, but I got some facts for you. His name is Pastor Jonathan Shelley of Steadfast Baptist Church. He prays the death of a spectator at a Florida Pride parade after a truck drove into the crowd. This was June 2019. He also called for the killing of people who are gay. Let me go to the next video of this clown.
Are you going to let her hand you an apple from the tree too? I mean, the Bible is crystal clear on who's supposed to be ruling, who's supposed to be leading, you know, and women are supposed to be obedient. They're not supposed to be in charge or telling us what to do. I mean, when a woman is the top of the free world, we're doomed. And we are like one half heartbeat away. I mean, we are one small trip away. Literally. I mean, we're one bad cough. I mean, it's just like, that is scary. That should be terrifying to all of us. And there's states where women are the governors. There's, in this state, women are running for governor. You are an idiot if you vote for a woman. You are a fool. And you hate the word of God.
No, it's actually you who's the fool. You are the idiot. Now, the Steadfast Baptist Church, where the pastor preached against the LGBTQ community, has now 5 days to vacate the building. Why? Because they're leasing. Wait a minute, preacher. I thought you run stuff. You talking all that and you leasing somebody else's building? Okay, they got 5 days to vacate. After the judge ruled Tuesday, the church was in violation of the terms of his lease, which include making threats and creating a dangerous nuisance. The judge issued the court order after trial. Now, remember, the pastor's talking all of this, right? He's the man. Here's his response after the judge ruled against him.
Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Jonathan Jelly from Steadfast Baptist Church, and I wanted to update people on our building situation. We received recently an adverse ruling against our church saying that we have violated our lease for what I preached, the sermons that we preached at this church, and that we have to leave our property. Now, that's going to happen maybe in a few weeks or something like that, depending on how quickly some of the documents get filed. But the ruling has been delivered. The ruling has been made. And the situation's really unprecedented. And in fact, even the enemies of our church are gloating and bragging about the fact that our church is being evicted for what we believe and what we preach. And they are actually incredulous because they believe that the First Amendment would protect us, as did everybody that's heard anything about our situation.
Mm. Preacher, you're being evicted because your dumbass violated the rules of the lease agreement. That's why you're being evicted. Your freedom of speech does not mean a private organization or private landowner does not have the right to enforce a lease, a contract that you signed, and they enforce it against you. But let me remind this preacher and those who follow him of a few things the Bible actually says. To the issue about gender and women being in positions of leadership, I want to remind this preacher that Galatians 3:28 says, and I quote, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's out of your book, preacher. Well, how about 1 Corinthians 13:4-5? It says, love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Love does that, preacher. 1 John 4:16, let me remind you of that one. It's in the same book. What's love? God is love, according to John, which means love is God. Or 1 John 4:20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates humanity, they are liars. If you hate others whom you see, how can you ever love God whom you have never seen? Same book, preacher. Ben, thoughts?
Yeah, it's just really wild how people feel like they can, like, say things like this. I mean, like, it's 2022. Like literally, like, especially right after covering the story about that state representative taking pictures of people without their consent, we go to this story where you've got this preacher running around saying all this sexist stuff, trying to say that women shouldn't be in leadership positions. It's just absolutely ridiculous, and it's completely infuriating because, like, and they, like, try and spin their religion into it, and it just doesn't make any sense at all. And, like, how do the women that go to that church feel about that? I mean, like, it really just is very, very infuriating because, like, and honestly, I've seen this in, some of the people that I, like, personally know, and it just kind of, like, it just leads to, like, a lot of problems. It just leads to, like,
yeah,
a lot of
and
problems.
The thing is, the reason why it's important in the atmosphere of social commentaries because these individuals have a significant foothold on American politics right now. And that's mm-hmm. problematic. That's why it has to be exposed.
Yes, 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 yes. And Dr. Demery, we've got a comment about that. We've got to comment on this. So I took something out of that. I've heard it several times, okay? That's Dr. Rashad Ritchie. Folks, please check him out. He is dynamic, okay? Now, he is not a preacher. His doctorate is in education, okay? And he's presently going to law school as well. Oh, my goodness, what a lawyer. I would love to have him as a lawyer, too. Congratulations, Dr. Ritchie. He's a fantastic individual. And he doesn't play games. Whether it's black, white, green, or yellow, he'll call you out. And that's what I appreciate. We want honesty because we all know that no particular race has a dominance over racism or doing wrong things or anything like that. We're happy to talk about this because this particular party of Republicans, they seem, they're so repulsive because of they claim to love God, yet that some of them have posts, God, guns, and humanity or something like that. And now how are you going to put God and guns in the same quote or in the same sentence? How in the world do you do that? I can't fathom that, you know? And they are so, it's like, wow, the Democrats are doing this. The Democrats are destroying democracy. The Democrat, no. Any Republican, listen to me right now. The Republican Party is trying to destroy democracy, okay? And the person that you worship, keep on following him, okay? Okay, that's Satan's son. That's Satan's son, in my opinion, because anyone who acts like Satan, they got to be some kin to him. Dr. Demery.
I'm here.
Anyone who acts like Satan got to be kin to him. I mean, and this guy's talking about, and I'm telling you what, I was offended, and you being a woman, you had to be offended that he doesn't believe that any woman should be in a position of authority. That means that he don't like his mama because his mama had authority over him, in my opinion.
Well, Reverend Demery going first or me?
Please, Dr. Demery. Go first. Yeah, Dr. Demery.
Well, I'll be brief and I'll let Ann go. I think there's about two or three different things going on here. The first thing is I would ask where he went to seminary. And what type of education he has. Probably none. And he probably got his ministerial degree in a Cracker Jack box. First things I would say. And then second of all, you know, sometimes these clowns will say ridiculous stuff like that to get a reaction so that they can get popularity. That's one of the other reasons why they do it. And then thirdly, you know, if he really truly believes this crap that he's talking about, I mean, what a sad state of affairs.
Sick.
You know, what a sad state of affairs. He's a poor example of a minister, an ordained clergy person. And he's just what the devil wants you to act like, you know, craziness like that. So the devil is cheering and happy that he's speaking like that because he's saying, look, he's one of mine. I ain't going to tell y'all that. But he's one of mine. He's a shepherd.
Pretty much.
Can you imagine being, okay, I just want you to imagine this because I know you would never go to a church like this. Can you imagine being a woman in that church hearing this garbage? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what his wife is going through? And I'll guarantee you, I don't have any information on this, but I guarantee you, that some of those women that go to that church and adhere to his belief system, they are being abused right now, whether it's physical or mental or both.
I wouldn't doubt it. Obviously, not a fly on the wall in their household, so I don't know what's going on. But his thought process is about women. Sounds like he leans more to demeaning and denigrating women in every fashion. The thing that gets me is that you have these people who only read portions of the Bible that they like. And I won't say read it, only seem to remember the portions that they like. They seem to forget that this thing that we know is a part of the Bible called the Old Testament, mm-hmm. in a book called Judges. There was a prophetess named Deborah who ruled over all of Israel. Not a piece of it. She was the judge set above all the men in Israel. They went to her for her wisdom. And when you read about the other judges, of which we all know about Samson and Delilah. Samson was a judge of Israel. You had other men who did it, but she was one of the women who did it. And there are other instances in the Bible where God talks about there being prophetesses, even in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. My favorite prophetess in the New Testament was Anna. She was the prophetess who was blessed to see the Messiah before she died. And she recognized Jesus for who he was, even when he was an infant. And when it got the prophet Simeon and told him to come see, like, look, this is him. And they both recognized Jesus Christ, the Messiah, from birth. He didn't even have to do a miracle. He was the miracle, just the fact that he was born. So mm-hmm. to say that no woman, that the Bible tells you women shouldn't be leaders, is number one, a lie. Let's just put it that way. Now, are there scriptures that men have misinterpreted, or twisted, for their own benefits? Yeah. They love the one about women being quiet in the church. Mm-hmm. What they do is take out of context what was going on in the church. At the time, you've got a situation where men were sitting here and women were sitting there. You know, kind of like what we do with the deacons and the deaconesses today. Why we still do that, I don't know. But you had these women who couldn't wait till they got home to ask their husbands questions. So they're being disruptive during the service and they're talking all over the person delivering the message, trying to find out what's going on, presumably from their husband. So yeah, you need to sit down and shut up so things can be done decently and orderly in the house of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that no woman ever again can say anything in church who is called, chosen by God to be a leader in a church. Like, say, Deborah was the leader of Israel, and other prophetesses were leaders in their own right. And I must correct this, because we were talking about this yesterday on the show about Proverbs 31, which he quoted and took completely out of context. Let me just read it for you so that you can understand what it really says. Now, this is the one that starts out probably in your translation, virtuous, who can find a virtuous woman. I'm reading the NIV versions to make it plain for everybody. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff, a weapon, folks, and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Now, that is not a woman who is just at home, barefoot and pregnant, taking care of her man. She's a business owner, okay? She basically takes care in the house, take care of her home inside the house, as well as taking care of her things out of the house. She's earning a living. She's got her own money. So for these people who feel like they can't give women money, or rather that they have to put their wives on some type of allowance and just dole them out. Like, no. That is not what the word of God says about a virtuous woman. So if you want this woman that the Bible, that God says is a wonderful woman, she sounds a whole lot more to me like the women of today than the women of a few generations ago who were oppressed to the point where they couldn't even have jobs. They were just stuck at home with their children. And maybe it's just me, but Reverend Demery, you tell me, does that sound more like women of today? Or does it sound more like this chauvinistic, oppressive version that he was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, absolutely. It's just like they say there was never women prophets in the Old Testament, or the First Testament, I call it. Look at Huldah the prophetess in Kings. She's the one that identified the Isaiah scroll. The men identified what it was. But they came to her, and she identified it as Isaiah scroll because they couldn't even read Hebrew. But she was able to identify it. So she was not only a prophetess, she was a scholar on top of that. So, you know, it just goes to show you have these morons out there and these, I mean, I hate to use the word idiot.
Yeah, use it, please.
I mean, that's really what they are. And it's a shame because, unfortunately, people actually believe this crap.
Yeah,
they do.
That's the dangerous part of it. You know, whether he's playing around with this or playing games with it or whatever, it's dangerous because you get a lot of people out there who are slightly psychotic anyway. And they look at this stuff, and then they act on it. That's why you get people to go blow up abortion clinics and, you know, crazy stuff like that to get, you know, 3 or 4 guns and go and shoot a place up because they listen to idiots like this. And I think you could comment on this, and I think very closely, and there's a thin line between him breaking the law because first-year law students, one of the things they study is, you know, can you go into a crowded movie theater and holler fire? No, you
exactly.
So he's binging on a real dangerous line of thought here. I think
I do too.
That's right. And then are we supposed to feel sorry for him because he lost his lease?
Oh my gosh, stop. Oh, and let me correct myself. A distaff is different from a staff. I said weapon. It's actually not a weapon. It's actually something used, in making fabrics and whatnot. So forgive me for confusing the two, together. But as far as him losing his lease, okay, you've got a contractual relationship between the lessor and the lessee, the lessor being the landlord. And so whatever the terms of their contract are, if he has breached the terms of those contracts, as a court apparently has found he has, then that means he can be evicted. Now, I don't know exactly, you know, the ins and outs of what happened. I do know that a judge said you breached the contract, so you need to be kicked out. So it sounds like, you know, the landlord wins based on the terms of the contract. Now, how he's relating this to what he is preaching about, I don't know, you know, what was in the contract about his preaching. I do know that apparently the judge said you breached the terms of the contract and you got to get out.
Yep. Well, you know, the thing about it is, again, I can't imagine. Oh, my God. You know, there was an old movie out, and I don't know if you ever saw it or not, called The Stepford Wives.
I remember that movie.
And
it was scary.
It was scary because the women were walking around like zombies, Dr. Demery.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, it was scary.
You know,
it's the thing, not so much what he believes or what he's talking about. I don't think that's what the judge is really saying. I mean, in my church, if we don't pull our light bill, your light's going to get turned on. We own our property. We own the property of our church. We own it. But there's still certain things we got to pay our bill.
You got to pay your bill.
Right.
We got to pay our internet bill. And if you don't pay that stuff, it gets turned off.
And that could be it, too. And he may have been lying anyway about the reason why he was getting kicked off. Okay? I don't know whether a landlord... Now, I guess they can put anything in the contract that they want, right? Meaning that you would not incite anything as a church. You would not preach against this or that or that. I don't know whether they have the authority to. Well, if you own the property, you have the authority to write up a contract any way you want. And if somebody tends to sign it, okay, that's a whole different story. Now, there was another thing as far as the contract was concerned, and this is completely different from this. But I guarantee you there are Trump supporters and probably maybe people that would adhere to this type of church too. And that was a landlord. And can you believe this? Put in the contract that this mother of five, okay, and she was homeless. She was living in hotels, and she wanted this apartment building. I believe it was in Nevada. And she wanted this particular apartment for her children, right? And this clown put in the contract. Okay, he's now being sued. Thank God. That she had to have sex with him.
What?
Yes, ma'am.
What? So he tried to make her a prostitute?
Had to put it in the...
Legally? Well, yeah, you can't do that if it's against the law. Even if it's in your contract, your written agreement, it's not going to be enforceable, folks. The judge is not going to enforce something that's against the law.
The manager presented this contract to her that she had to service him sexually and the owner of the property. And they had to do it on a regular basis.
Wow.
Pervert.
Wow.
Yes. Now, not only is he a pervert, Dr. Demery, he's also completely stupid. We're talking about a whole stupid person. A whole stupid person.
That's called a new fool. Because I got written evidence that you tried to pimp me. Easier than that. Best part about them is they're stupid.
So, Ann.
If you find a smart one, that's a problem.
Yeah. Ann. Mm-hmm. I think I would have the temperament to handle this one. What do you think?
I think, William, no. I think this one would set you off. I
Hey, Dr. Demery, do you think this one would set me off if I were a judge in court?
Oh, you probably wouldn't even let him in there.
You done made your ruling just from the written record. Look at him in jail. Yes, William, he would be entitled to his day in court.
He would have him in contempt of court before he even walked.
Right. I would have had a warrant for his arrest before he showed up. Right. I would have it ready.
You can't do it, William.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Oh,
no, William. No. I think you were you supposed to be partner.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. Anyway, that was fun. Okay, let me go to my next clip here. Mm. All right, check this one out. Wokeism. Oh, my God. The Republicans had caught on to this thing called wokeism, and they're just wearing it out. And they really
don't even understand.
They don't even know what it means. Okay, check this one out.